67 years old, who sat in our Bible study, listened to the lessons, and one day said, "Marvin, I'd like to be baptized." You know, if you never have any other thrills in your life, that's one thrill you ought to experience sometime. When the man came to the nursing home, he had come from an operation, and it's been 6 weeks, them trying to get rid of the staph infection so that he could be baptized. But I am glad that we have a new brother in Christ, and I want to share that with you, because you do have a part in this. You've been very generous in helping me financially in my work, and this is the fruit of our labors, that God has blessed us with success, and that's more than the whole world, Jesus said. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? The whole world wouldn't be enough, would it? We're hoping that you have an opportunity to meet him soon and to express your love to him as we have. A mother asks her son, "What are you going to do tonight, son?" She's really inquiring, what are your options? And which one are you going to take? The chairman of the board concluded his report with a section titled, "The Options Before Us." An option is kind of an open door through which we may proceed or choose not to proceed. It's an alternative, a choice. Options are vital to our living. Options are vital to our happiness. Options are vital to our soul. We must not only be able to see the options, but we must be wise enough to choose the right option. I was watching TV the other night and I saw a lady from Russia going through one of our modern grocery stores where they have 27 different kinds of cheese. And when you go down the aisle, you have the option of any one of those. If she went down the aisle of a Russian grocery store, she would be lucky to have one option. And if she did, she'd probably have to fight with the lady next to her to get there before she did. Have you ever thought of all the options that you have? And all the options that you have chosen, the ones you have taken, and the ones you've left pass by. You know, Robert Frost said he came to a split in the road, and he chose the way less traveled. Jesus came to a split in the road, didn't he? He was hungry. 40 days he hadn't eaten. And the devil says, "You know you can make a loaf of bread and eat and satisfy this craving of yours." But Jesus opted to serve for God, didn't he? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. At the end of Joshua's life, you remember Joshua had taken the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. They had conquered many peoples and driven them out just like the Lord told them to do. And Joshua is reminding them of their options. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you, or you take this option. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which our fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we have opted for God. We will serve the Lord. You know, Jesus said that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve the Lord and try to serve Satan at the same time or self at the same time. Because we will hate the one and love the other, or cling to the one and depart from the other. You and I have options in most things. We have many, many options. Some of these options are dead and some of them are alive. A dead option is one no longer open, a choice no longer possible, an alternative we can't have, and we need not consider it. Once living but dead options might be like this. Do you know if the Western powers had not pulled Hitler off Russia's back in 1941, I wonder what Russia would be like today. I wonder what Germany would be like today. I wonder what the United States would be like today. But that is a dead option. It's past. The decision was made. We pulled him off their back, and we can't go back and undo that. What if the United States had left Vietnam up to the UN to settle? That's a door we won't walk through again. You know, there are lots of people in the United States that have never closed the door on that option. They cannot get it out of their mind that that option no longer exists. We were there, we were defeated, we came home ashamed, and well, we should have, because we should never have been there in the first place. That option is no longer alive. It's a dead issue. So in our personal lives, you know, the same thing holds true. It's interesting. When we close one, or we choose one option, it automatically makes others dead. Let me demonstrate. When I was a young blade, and I can remember when I was a young blade, even though it's been many years ago, and I never had the young ladies fighting over me whether they wanted to date with me, so don't get the wrong impression. But I did have an option. I could marry or not marry. That was my option. But once married, we have no options. When the decision is made and we are actually married, then all the other options are closed, aren't they? Or they should be. But how often do we, even though we might be married, how often do we look on someone and say, oh, she would make a lovely wife, wouldn't she? Especially if my wife at home isn't paying the attention she needs to me. I start looking for an option, don't I? It's not right. Because in God's sight, when I opted to marry this woman till death do us part, that ought to have made me blind to all other options. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way always. Other options ought to be as dead, as Job said, as though they had never been. When a new child comes into the family, he opens up certain possibilities for us as parents, certain possibilities for us to cater to him, to indulge him, to let him have his way, or to correct him, chastise him, and bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have those options. You know, it's strange. A little baby can remake a whole household, can it? You who have had babies, you know that when they arrive, everything centers around them. When the baby cries, you have the option of going and seeing what's wrong, trying to explore to find out what's wrong, or just let him bawl his head off. You know, I used to stay with some people. They had two little girls, and when it came 7 o'clock, those girls went to bed, ready or not. I've seen them cry for an hour and a half, till they wore themselves out because their parents opted to ignore them. Our profession is an option. Have you ever thought about it, you older people, what young people go through when they choose a career? Just think of all the different things that they can do. Not that they might do. Think of all the things that are available to them. All the things that they can do. And they must choose one of those. Maybe it'll take them 4, maybe 6, maybe 8 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years if they choose a certain profession. It takes years to prepare for some professions. And you can't go back to the beginning and say, well, I believe I want to be a fireman. I really didn't want to be a dentist. I think I want to be a fireman. Once the option is taken, it's set. Because too much time is involved. Too much effort is involved to turn back and start all over again. Although they say that in America, every one of us fellows will change our profession or our way of living up to 3 times in our lifetime. There are many who are nostalgic about dead options. I'm sure all of you have read these words, "For all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." Do you have times in your life that if you had taken a different option, it would have changed your life completely? Do you sit around and cry about it? I think it's easy to get into the habit of weeping over options that might have been. Because life goes on. And we better be taking living options rather than crying over dead options. There's a very great danger when we grow old of our blurring the difference between the dead and the live options in our life. I recall an old man who had nothing to say, who never smiled, who seldom associated with other people because he opted to live in the dead past. All you had to do, though, is mention the war, and he could tell you tales from now till doomsday about the war. That's all that interested him. And I think that's the way it happens with many people who grow older. It's the good old days. That's all they can talk about is the good old days. The good old days are a dead option. You say, oh, I'd love to go back to the horse and buggy days when we had time to do things. Now, do you really want that? No, you don't want that. The best part of the good old days is a poor memory. But this man, when he got on the Great War, could talk like you never heard anybody talk before. And I believe that some of us are like that. You know, when a person brings up the subject of religion, some of us suddenly lose our voices like Zechariah. Have you opted to be quiet when you should have talked sometimes? Have you chosen to be thought ignorant rather than open your mouth and remove all doubt? Have you been ashamed of Jesus? That's why you didn't talk about him. Sometimes we treat dead options as though they were alive. You know, when we lived in Indianapolis, we were anxious all the time. Every time the telephone rang, we hoped it was somebody from Iowa calling us so we'd know what was going on in Iowa. Our bodies were in Indianapolis, but our hearts were in Iowa. We were living a dead option, because you can't live in Indianapolis and Iowa at the same time. And that's why today I'm in Iowa. Don't take a dead option and try to make it a live one. I think the secret of success in a personal relationship is to be able to distinguish dead options from live ones. All of you know that ever since I can remember, I have liked antiques. You know that, don't you? If you don't, you know it now. And I tell my wife she ought to be glad, because the older she gets, the better I like her. Even though sometimes I'd like to refinish her. That is a dead option. Never marry somebody you think you're going to make over, because you'll fail, I'll guarantee it. That is a dead option. Be able to distinguish between a dead issue and a live issue. What I did yesterday, is that a live issue? Only if it affects today. Have you ever thought about all the things that you should have done yesterday and didn't get done? And you ask God, God, forgive me for the things I didn't get done, when you prayed before you laid your head down on your pillow. And then the next morning you said, God, give them back to me, because I'm going to carry them all day too. I want to torture myself. I'm going to whip myself across the back for the things I didn't get done yesterday. That is a dead option. You cannot do anything about what happened yesterday. You only have today to work on whatever is a live option in your life. You don't have tomorrow. I know a man that was a vibrant man one day and a dead man the next. 45 hours after he left. No, 14 hours after he left his home, he was dead. You say it can't happen to me, but it did to him. So let's deal with live options. Choose the living way, not the dead way. You remember when the disciples said to Jesus, you know, we went down there and we just preached our head off to these people and they just said, no, 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 right down the line to us. Shall we call for fire from heaven to come and destroy them and blow them away? And Jesus must have looked at them as if to say, you talk like a man with a paper head. We didn't come to destroy people's lives. We came to save people's lives. That is a live option, isn't it? Let's choose the living option, regardless of how much it costs. You know, Jesus, rather than hating his enemies, loved even his enemies. Because you know, when you hate your enemies, you're just like them. You come down to their level, don't you? When you opt to be mad because somebody else is mad, you become just like them. You're on the same level. Jesus chose to love. Jesus chose to see the good things in men's lives. Jesus chose to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Is that what you're doing with your options? A wife had a husband who had not been true to her. Everybody knew it, he confessed it, and everybody in the community knew it. He assured her with tears in his eyes that this would be the only and last time this would happen. She had no reason to doubt his integrity because she had never lied to him before. But the final decision lay with his wife. She could choose to say this marriage is dead and walk out. She could choose to say, I'll live with this man and I'll never let him forget what he's done to me. Or she could choose to be bigger than either one of those and love him to death. She faced it with real courage and glory. Here's what she said to the counselor. We must move ahead together somehow. I am sure our love is still alive and may become strong enough to give us confidence in each other again. Isn't that beautiful? That takes a woman that's got courage. That takes a woman who knows a live option from a dead man. In religion, we have live options and dead options. I want to ask you a question or two, and I want you to think about you, not about me. I'll think about me. You think about you. Is God really operating in your life every day? Is he alive or dead? Do the elements of faith have any relevance for today? When Jesus said, love your enemies, does that have any application today? Love them, bless them, and don't curse them. Return not evil for evil, but good for evil. Does that have any relevance today? Is that a live issue or a dead issue? Or do we just come here and sit in seats on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night? Or is God going out the door with us too? Is he alive in my life and in your life? Or is it just a dead issue? Are we like the man who went to Oregon to the lumber camp. And when he came back, his friends asked him, "Well, how did you get along up there as a Christian?" He said, "Nobody knew it." Would you say God was alive in his life? Did he take the live option or the dead one? God was dead in his life. And I fear that God is dead in my life many times. When I choose not to say anything when something should be said, or I choose to say a lot when I ought to keep my mouth shut. Is love a dead option? Are you afraid to love somebody? This new brother that I have, I don't know anything about him except we were almost twins. He was born one day after I was. I know he's a man that's got troubles, all kinds of troubles. I don't know how many. It'll probably take me 6 weeks to find out how many, maybe more. He's got lots of troubles. But when he came up out of the grave of baptism and I threw my arms around him and gave him a big kiss on the cheek, I said, "I always kiss the new babies because I love you." He said, "I love you too." He wasn't afraid to take the option of love. Are you afraid? Have you ever wondered why principals always go around with their arms folded like this? It's to protect themselves from the students ever getting close to them. See, they can't get close to me. I can throw my elbows up and keep them away. Do you ever throw your elbows up and keep me away? Or keep anybody away? Are you choosing whom you love? Just last week I talked to a young man, a very impressive young man, impressive in his speech and in his carriage and everything. And I waited for him, and when he drove up with his wife, I know my mouth must have fell open that long, because she was black as the ace of spades. But she was as lovely as she was black. Is that a live option or a dead option? I can either love her because she's a warm, gracious human being, or I can refuse to because she's black. How many options do you have every day? Here comes this cranky old man who bites at everybody that gets close to him. And he says, "Let's have some service here." You're the clerk behind the counter. Do you snap back, "I'll be with you when I get ready"? Or do you say, "I'm sorry you're not feeling well today"? You know, we choose to love, don't we? Jesus chose to love you and me. We weren't very lovable. I have been told when I was little, I was a little snot-nosed kid. You know what that is, don't you? That's why I can hardly stand it to see a child with his nose running. I want to go wipe it for him. Now, of course, when you have 10 of them, it's kind of hard to keep track of everybody's nose. That really isn't that important. But I wasn't very lovable. But we always say, "Well, my mother loved me." Yeah, she did. "My dad loved me." Yeah, he did. But did I love them like I should? That's the question. If I'm going to take the living option, I'm going to have to open up the door to my heart and let you come in, aren't I? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." You hear him knocking? Aren't you even curious who's there? If somebody knocks at my door, I can't stand it till I see who's at the door. Jesus said, "I stand at your door and I knock." But you've got the option. You can hide behind the sofa and say, "We're not here." But you know it's not true. Or you can ignore him. He'll go away. Or you can open the door and he'll come in and sup with you, and you with him. And you'll have something living going, won't you? I think about this in regard to little children. You know, I don't think any of us are aware of what influence we have on little children. A friend of mine died recently, was 94 years old. And I can remember the first time I went to her house that she put her arms around me and loved me, that she showed me her African violets, she showed me her pretty old dishes, she showed me all the interesting things in her house. It was a regular museum. You know, I never forgot that. One time a woman told me, "Marvin, your ears are dirty." I never forgot that either. Us older people ought to be very careful. One time I was standing for prayer. I want you to get this. I was standing for prayer in a meeting, and one of the evangelists, and I use that word advisedly, whispered to the other as the man was praying, "I hope he shuts up pretty soon. I'm dying for a cigarette." I couldn't have been more than 10 years old, but I never forgot that. We have the option of living close to God or just as far away as we can get from him. We have the option of being like Christ or being just whatever we want to be. We have the option of being obedient servants or being the kind of servants that horse around when the boss is gone. We have the option of being sure where we are going, or just floundering around till God shuts us off. Today you have the option, if you are not a Christian, of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, coming to him like the woman did in our story, saying, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David. Help me." And letting him and us help you. Or you have the option of choosing not to do that. But I want to remind you that once this option is passed, it will never be open again. Once you leave this world, God has said, if you are filthy, you will be filthy still, and if you are righteous, you will be righteous still. I am urging you, if you are not a Christian, are you going to opt for death or for life? With Jesus, there is life. But if you depend on yourself and on the devil, the only end is death.